For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center, and joining us right now, I remember the excitement in our studio when the news came out that the New York Giants are acquiring this guy, and that is Brian Burns, one of the newest members of the Giants. Brian, how are you? Thanks for coming on, man.
Doing good. How are you yourself?
Or how are you finding New Jersey? You loving it?
Yeah. You know, it's a bit of a process to get used to everything coming from Charlotte. Everything's so small.
Right.
To now, yeah, it's the big city.
Have you made your way to the big city? Have you been over there at all? Hanging out? Doing anything?
A little bit.
That's funny.
I get the vibe you don't like it. That's the vibe I got. And that's okay.
It's intimidating. I remember my first training camp. Rodney Hampton was here, a former running back. And we can't see it now, but our practice field looked at the city. Mm-hmm. So you could see it. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he said to me was, Teak, don't go there. You will get yourself in trouble. I ended up moving into the city and living there.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
Oh, man.
And it was great.
It was the best time of your life, huh?
It was amazing. New York is interesting because the expectation is always so high for the stars that are here. And mm-hmm. the fan bases are knowledgeable about the game. As you come here and you know that, you obviously know the history of the Giants, how excited was it for you to be a part of this, especially as a coming in already established as a star player?
Yeah, like I said, the process has been interesting. But, like, I've been super excited, you know, once everything happened, like, but it happened so fast.
Right.
I had to hit the ground running, like, figure out where I'm going to live, like, what's going on, everything of that nature. But once it started to settle in and I started to get to know the guys, get to know the history and everything like that, you know, it's pretty exciting.
Were you aware of the trade, that it was going to happen the way that it went down? Or were you just – you knew that they weren't going to come out the pocket, so it was like it'd be someplace else.
They kept me in the dark for a while, like kind of like straddling the line. So for a while I didn't know, but then I kind of peep game, you feel me, like coming down to the trade. So I was prepped a little bit for it.
Were there any other possibilities of places you could be moved to besides New York?
Yeah, there was some other places. Nothing really that was set in stone, but it's just like word of mouth.
Right. I mean, to be blunt, did you feel that way as a player, as a competitive, when you're a star player, Christian McCaffrey's a star player, they move on from him,
there's
a million different coaching changes. Did you feel almost, I got to go somewhere where they know where they're what they're doing? Was that ever a vibe you had as a player, as a competitor?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. Just because of how loyal and how in the moment I am.
Yeah.
I was really just focused. Me, Christian, DJ, we always had conversations. Shaq Thompson, we always had conversations of just how we're going to flip this around.
Right.
So we were pretty much stuck in that process. But, you know, as the years started to, you know, accumulate and I never had a winning season.
Right.
You know, you start looking back on it and just being like, you know, damn, like I want to win.
Yeah. Dude,
does this organization
gone, right?
Was that? I'm sorry,
everybody's gone.
The only person left is Shaq.
Oh, that's right, Shaq.
I mean, they've completely redone the organization. Yeah. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Does it feel – obviously, you haven't played a game yet here, but does this organization feel differently compared to what you were with for the last 4 or 5 years?
Everything feels different. Just in general, like I said, it's been a fast process for me. You know, this is my first – obviously, my first move.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of things are new, but I feel good about the season. I feel good with the direction that we're headed in. So.
Yeah. So tell me about what Shane is going to have you guys doing. Bowen going to have you and Kayvon and this defensive line. Obviously, it's the strength, one of the strengths of this team,
mm-hmm.
That specific unit. How are you going to be able to cook, do what you do?
Really, he's just putting a lot of trust in us, a lot of responsibility on our shoulders, and I feel like it's rightfully so. I definitely feel like we're embracing it, and I like that Shane has an attack mindset, you know. So I did a lot of dropping to Carolina over my 5 years. And I don't see a lot of that now. So
you don't want to be a dropper.
Nah, I want to go forward.
Technically, are you end? Are you edge? Are you linebacker? Like, what's your classification?
I played a lot of things. I guess you can just say it's an edge.
Yeah. So yeah. What do you want to do? You
want to get after?
Wants to hit the quarterback, man.
I want to go forward. I ain't really into dropping. Like, if it's a changeup, cool.
Right.
But just like, I don't want to, you know, drop 70, 60 times a year.
You think you're going to get a chance to do that?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially with the big guy that was just sitting in his chair.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You want to sack the quarterback, what, 12, 13 times this year?
Yeah, more probably.
I mean, that
would be great.
Well, you have a friendly competition. Then we're going to put a wager on this. Came on Thibodeau.
Yeah, careful. I don't know if you're allowed to.
I'm not going to allow to. But are you guys competitive on those two edges? Because you and Kayvon are two of the best at doing it right now.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely have a friendly competition going on, and it's kind of inevitable, you know. Even if we don't talk about it, it's kind of just we know. Like, yeah. If I get a sack, I'm up on you, bro. Like, you better tighten up. Let's get in there.
Right. Is your meeting room intense? You know what I mean? Like, as you guys sit back and watch film, what is it? Is it quiet? Is it reflection? Is it trash talking? Like, what's the meeting?
Honestly,
like?
It's a lot of communication because it's a lot of smart guys in that room.
Yeah.
And it kind of took me by surprise when I first got in there, but they were saying some points and things that I was already thinking of, but me being where I am and where they are, you feel what I'm saying? Like, they were up to par.
Yeah.
You feel what I'm saying? They wasn't missing the beat. So it was actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
We're talking to Brian Burns here live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center here on WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM, HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station, also on SNY. A lot of Giant fans are going to call you Spider-Man. That's your nickname. Where did you get it? Who gave it to you?
It started in college. My last year, you know, I was just playing around, goofing around, and I did this pose in practice one time, and everybody was like, the hell is he doing? So yeah, I kind of joked around like I was gonna do it in the game. Never really intended on
right.
it, and it happened. Okay. And then they got
you did it in the game?
Yeah, after a sack. And then they got like a fire pitcher out of it. And then ever since then, it's just been Spider.
Okay.
So
I am curious. I want
to
play a game.
I'm trying to think of the Black Spider-Man. It was a cartoon. What was it? It was a kid.
Yeah, you know Miles Morales.
Yeah, Miles. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I want to play a game with you. Tell me if you can handle this. So right. You've had six coaches in 6 years.
Oh, God.
Brian Daboll will be your seventh. Can you name all six coaches right now off the top of your head that coached you at the NFL level?
Head coach, right?
Head coach. Position.
All right. Yeah, Ron Rivera.
That's one.
Perry was our interim head coach.
Perry Fulance, too.
Right? Yeah, and then Matt Rhule came in.
Okay. Three, right?
And then Steve Wilks was our interim. And then Frank Wright came in.
Five.
And
almost there.
Oh,
you should
almost there. He's right there.
He's there. He's
what did we call?
That guy's name? I forgot his name, too, by the way.
It's on the tip of my tongue, but he was our special teams coordinator.
Chris,
I don't even know who this is. By the way,
who is it?
It's Chris. I have to write it down. Chris Tabor.
Tabor. That's who it is. Tabor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tabor. Tapes. That's what we call.
We call them tapes. Yeah. Now you got tapes.
Now you got tapes.
I only ask you
how
because
did you forget that? It's I got to change a D to a T.
I think you did a pretty good job.
That
like, that's not
good.
Easy. I don't think most Panther fans can name that. But that's got to be difficult to have that many head coaches in such a short period of time.
It is, but it is really difficult as being a leader. Of a team, especially at a young age, you know, because I always equate it to like having a bad breakup, you know, and then you have to get to know your new head coach. Got to know what he likes, his standards, his motto, his everything. You got to figure that out, and then you have to preach it to the team. So it was always difficult to, you know, keep doing that every other year.
Yeah, for some reason I thought it was Ejiro. I thought Evero was it got the interim job.
Nah,
but it
he
wasn't.
Didn't. But it's crazy because he they actually interviewed him for the job. That Wright had got.
Yeah, yeah.
They interviewed him for it, but when Wright got fired, they didn't put him as the.
Interestingly, he's still there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so they kept him. They held on to him. So he's a defensive coordinator.
Crazy.
Right?
We're talking to Brian Burns. So, you know, I mentioned here at the top of the interview when you got traded here, there was some incredible excitement. Tiki was excited because he's a giant at heart.
What do you mean at heart?
I'm a giant like
you're
life, bro.
You put a Breece Hall jersey on 2 weeks ago.
That's because you gave it to me as a gift.
That is true. Sean Morash, one of our coworkers, diehard Giant fan, was dancing. dancing, like literally was dancing because they got you. When you got that initial phone call of you're probably going to the New York Giants because it was a process with the contract, what was the initial reaction? Was it excitement? Was it sadness that you're leaving? Like, what went through your mind when you found out?
I was excited, and it was mainly sourced just through, you know, a lot of the stuff I was going through that year and, you know, that off season. But I have a video of the
oh really
of the interaction actually
with you and your family.
Yeah, it was me and my homeboy at the time. My family wasn't around yet, and then it's a video as cutting up.
Well, explain it to us. Were you going crazy? Were you jumping for joy? Like, I'm about to get paid. That was why you were excited.
It was a little bit of all of that in one.
It's only fair you release that since we saw the other side of it on Hard Knocks. We saw the negotiation. We saw all that stuff.
Yeah, that was interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
Did
you? Yeah. I tapped in just for that, and I didn't watch the rest of it.
I got to watch about me. That's all. I just wanted to see that part. We asked Dexy this and about the expectation for this season. And look, some people outside of the organization don't have high expectations for this Giants team. But, I mean, I feel like there's more talent here than has been here in a long time. How do you feel going into this season?
I feel good. Like you said, there's a lot of talent around, you know, and it's guys at every level. I feel like there's definitely stars at every level. And just want to speak on the defense specifically. I really feel like if we could tap into, you know, being on one page and being on one accord and the leaders step up and lead, I feel like we can really do a lot of things.
9 wins, 10 wins, what's your prediction?
I don't have one of those.
Yeah. You can't ask him to play that. What's wrong with you, bro?
I got your back.
He told me telepathically through his Spidey sense 10 minutes. Playoff berth. Brian, appreciate you, man.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate you, dog.
Good to meet you.
Brian Burns, thank you very much. Good meeting you. New York Football Giants. We got more coming up live here from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. We'll mix in some of your phone calls as well at 888-808-1019. Malik Nabers will join us a little bit later on. And Anthony Volpe and his future with the New York Yankees. We got a lot to discuss. Evan and Tiki, hopefully you're enjoying your Tuesday afternoon here in New York City, New Jersey, wherever you are. It's a beautiful Tuesday. We're spending it at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. If you missed any of the interviews that we've had today, you could rewind on the Odyssey app earlier today. Boomer and Gio were out here as well. Talked to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. We just spoke to, I think, the identity of the New York Football Giants. If the Giants are going to be good this season, if they are going to exceed expectations, if they are going to be in the hunt conversation come December, if they're going to be, dare I say, a playoff team, they will do it, in my opinion, because their identity will be a ferocious pass rush led by Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence. And I think that if the Giants have success this season, which I'm a lot more bullish on them than I was last year.
Right.
That's going to be the identity. That will be kind of what makes the Giants tick. Their defense, their ability to get to the quarterback. And that's why when they made the trade for Brian Burns a couple months ago, I think it was right after Saquon left and he was dead to all of us, that's a part of why it was so exciting to go along with Lawrence, to go along with an emerging Kayvon Thibodeau, that this could take this defense, which, you know, overall last year statistically was very mediocre. It wasn't great.
Right.
Especially against the run. That could take it to another level.
Yeah. No, it definitely will be dependent upon that side of the ball. But I also think that offensively, and we'll talk to Malik Nabers here in a little bit, I think offensively there's a real opportunity for some explosive plays to start happening. It's funny because when you said that about him and Dexy, Sexy Dexy and Daniel Jones being the oldest tenured Giants,
right,
even though they're not the oldest on the team, but the longest tenured Giants, it just kind of shocks you about how young and inexperienced a lot of this team is.
Oh, yeah.
So, right, there's still so much room for growth, but the only way that it feels good is if it gets realized quickly.
Yes.
Right? It can't just be like, oh, yeah, in 2 years, these guys would be okay. It's got to happen now, and I think there's an urgency, not like a you're on the hot seat urgency, but there's an urgency for this team to get good.
Well, I was thinking, you know, Dexter Lawrence, Daniel Jones, Darius Slayton, they were all taken in that same draft, 2019. Now that Saquon is gone, those are the quote-unquote longest tenured Giants. And I started going through my head all the longest tenured athletes in New York. Like, I was thinking about the Yankees for a second.
Yeah.
Tyron Judge, right? Yeah. I don't think there's anybody else. I'm trying to rack my brain. Like, Aaron Judge has been here since they called him up in September of 2016. In the Met case, it's Brandon Nimmo. Yep. I don't think there's anybody that's been here longer than Brandon Nimmo. I think to the Jets. I think about the Jets. It's Quinnen Williams.
Is it? Yeah.
I mean, who else would it be?
No, there isn't.
I go
CJ's
through.
CJ's only been here for 4 years, right?
Yep.
So, yeah.
I think it's Quinnen Williams. You think to the Knicks. Like, the longest tenured Knick is Mitchell Robinson, right? I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. They've overturned that roster so much over the last couple of years. And speaking of the Knicks, look, this has to do with jerseys. This has to do with when you make a decision to invest money in buying a jersey. It's a very special investment. It's a very special moment in your life as a child or as an adult. When you say, I love that athlete so much, I'm going to spend money to buy their jersey and rep it on my back. There are thousands, millions of people in the tri-state area who have Tiki Barber jerseys.
Yes.
They made a decision. I'm sure it's a humbling decision they made where they said, I love Tiki so much.
They probably didn't do it until like 2000, though.
Maybe they waited.
They waited 4 years.
And that's my point.
But it's all good.
You wait until that athlete deserves it.
Well, you wait until you know he's going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And he's also performed to the level that has entertained you, and you're going to remember it.
Totally agree. That's where I'm at. Yes. I think that's where most St. people are at. But when someone is initially brought in via trade or hyped up in free agency or draft, are you really running out and buying a jersey?
Well, yes, to be honest
really?
With you. Now, in retrospect, people will say, yeah, I was the first one to go get Jalen Brunson's jersey. That's a lie because nobody knew. Most people held the opinion of Tommy Lugauer, the future over there.
And what was Tommy's opinion again? I forgot.
I forgot.
It'd be typical
well.
Knicks.
Knicks.
Yep. Yeah,
but you know what? Positive Tommy gave some kudos to Francisco Alvarez last night, and we saw what happened.
What does that mean? He's the reason Alvarez hit a home run?
I mean, someone called the Lugauer and said, I need some juju, positive juju for Alvarez, and look what happened.
I thought it was him swinging at a 3-0 fastball up.
Whatever. He hit it out. He could have popped it up.
Yes, he
hit it out.
He
so could've. I think the it's easy to say it in retrospect. Yeah, I knew. I always knew. I knew. But I got to tell you, if I was going to go just on a whim, go get a new jersey for a new player in one of our, it would be Brian Burns.
Really?
Because he's paid to be here for a long time.
You know he's going to be here for a while. I get that.
And he's a baller. And so he's got the right attitude. He's got the right body makeup. And it seems like he's going to be put in a position, especially when he talked about, with Sexy Dexy in the middle, K-Bon on the other side. What are you doing? Right?
Yeah,
so he's going to get his chances.
I understand what you're saying to me. This is the way I kind of rationalize when I make that decision. It's a big decision to buy a jersey. It's a big decision. You got to do something for me. You got to do something for him. That's why when I saw that kid walk by, and he must have been like 15 years old, I don't want to pick on him, and he's wearing a Knicks Mikal Bridges jersey. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. Like, you got so many other options.
Why? He was excited when Mikal Bridges
You could buy a Josh Hart jersey. You could buy a Jalen Brunson jersey. You could buy Julius Randle if you love him. You get a guy who's done nothing. All he did was cry to get his way out. I mean, come on.
He's the last Infinity Stone, right?
Yes.
Maybe he's got all the other ones already.
Right, so he's collecting them.
No, I'm serious. He's got all the... Here's what it is. His dad went to Villanova. Because there's a lot of Villanova. My neighbor is a Villanova guy. Yeah. And Joe. So his dad went to Villanova. So you know what happened? His dad said, oh, wow. Jalen Brunson. Okay, got his jersey because he's a star. Oh, man. You got a Josh Hart. Oh, wow. Got to get that one. And then you get the last Villanova guy. You just go get it.
I don't get it.
He hadn't played a game yet, but you go get it. I didn't even know what number he was.
I was surprised
they had a number on it.
Right. It took me years before I said, all right, Jacob DeGrom, I'm getting you. I didn't get Mo Lewis's Jets jersey until after his career was over. That's how, because I almost felt he got marginalized because of the Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe situation, and he was such a good Jet that I was like, I'm getting his jersey to honor him because his name has been dragged through the mud for no reason. He didn't do anything wrong. But that's just my opinion on jerseys. He did his job.
Knocked the quarterback out of the game.
I know. Can you believe that? Right. He gets criticized for that?
He gets crushed because he did his job. Not my fault they had a great backup.
That's why I bought his jersey and I still wear it to this day. So I guess I'm different than most. I need you to earn it, and then I will gladly go out and buy your jersey. Let's get to some of your calls, including Chris in Tinton Falls. What's up, Chris?
What's happening, Chris?
Hey, boys. What's cooking?
All's good.
Evan, I'll echo that sentiment. I own two jerseys. Mark Collins, number 25, because that's who I wanted to be when I played in high school. I thought he's arguably the best corner the Giants ever had other than Emlyn Tennell, and or big time like that. And I have Plaxico Burress because I thought Plax got screwed by the political system, as it were, and I feel like he was made an example. But that being said, I will never buy a guy who is brand new. Burns, for me, guys, I was very critical of the trade because I think they locked up a lot of money in a guy who is good, not great, in a salary cap sport. If he's a nine-sack guy, that's a bad trade. If he, now having said that, I liked what he had to say. He starts to deliver 13, I will be a proponent. But he has got to be better than good. He's got to be great for that money. Because that's a lot of money. It's not a sport where you can just hand it out. He's occupying a lot, but I will say I like what he has to say, boys.
You know what I would say, Chris, to that? Okay. I think, and think about the little stupid game we played with him. And it was a stupid game, but I wanted to make a point, actually, with the game. And the game was, if you missed, you could rewind on the Odyssey app, can you name all the head coaches you've had?
Yeah.
He's had six head coaches in 6 years. And I look at Brian Burns.
And Dave's is a seventh.
And Dave's is the seventh, yeah.
Right.
That's right. It doesn't include Dave's. And so Christian McCaffrey is sort of similar, even though, yeah, fantasy-wise, we all knew he was great. I wonder, if you bring a really talented player to a capable franchise with good coaching, with stability, and look, the Giants are trying to prove they have stability. They just changed their defensive coordinator.
Yep.
Trust me, I understand that Brian Burns hasn't fully been unlocked.
No, he hasn't, and he's still young. He's 26 years old.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just looking at his contract, and it sounds enormous, obviously. 5 years off $141 million. It's 35 signing bonus. And it's average AAV at $28 million a year, which is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But there's an out after 3 years.
Right.
So if he's not going to be a bust, but just to say he's not what you thought he was going to be in 2026 at 28, you get rid of him.
Right.
And so it sounds – I've said this to you for a year. The NFL's cap is so fungible. It's such nonsense. If you want to pay somebody, you can. You want to get rid of somebody? Guess what?
Right.
You can also do that. But I don't expect that's going to be the case. I think that this team is being built from defensive side first. And obviously that's where the stars are right now, at least the established stars are right now with Dex and Kayvon and Brian Burns, and hopefully you get some of these young cornerbacks. But I feel like with Brian Burns, there's just a huge swing that the Giants have been reluctant to make in past seasons, and now they're making it, and I don't mind it at all.
Well, I also think in sports, sometimes you pay somebody for what they've done.
Yeah.
And it's kind of frustrating when you pay somebody for what they've done, and what they've done is with a different team. Because it's like, okay, I'm paying you for your past, but that doesn't do anything for me. Your past wasn't even with me. I like, and I've seen this more in the NFL than any other sport, where you're literally paying a guy for what you think they're about to do.
Yeah.
When the Giants paid Daniel Jones, and I know you could argue, well, it hasn't worked, that's fine, they weren't paying him necessarily for 2022. They were paying him for what they thought he was going to be in 23, 24, and beyond. I look at Brian Burns, I look at the trade, and I look at the contract, and I say they're paying for what they think he can become on this defense, with this team, with this roster.
Yeah.
And so I sort of agree with our last caller that he needs to be even better for that contract to be worth it.
Of course.
But I have expectations that he can be and will be,
considering
the Carolina Panthers are like the definition of dysfunction over the last 5 years.
He hasn't reached his full potential yet. We saw it, you know, statistically. He just started ticking his way up. 8 sacks, 9 sacks, 9 sacks. And he had 13. And then you had last season, which was a disaster for the Carolina Panthers. Frank Reich didn't even make it through the season. And you could tell they were just kind of quitting. Like, the team just felt like they were quitting and laying down the sword. So it became probably even harder for the players, but he's still growing. Like, there's still upside and still ramp up for Brian Burns. And so, you know, don't want to make this all about Brian, but I think that there is a huge opportunity for him here. because this is an up-and-coming team in New York, and it's well-coached. I don't know enough about what Shane Bowen's going to do for this Giant team. I saw what he did in Tennessee because I called a couple of their games last year, and they were sound against the run. They were aggressive in different ways than Wink is, as Dexie told us. But I think he could thrive here, especially with Kayvon and Dexter Lawrence in the middle of that defense.
Charles in Brooklyn. How you doing today, Charles?
How are you?
What's up?
Sup?
So my friend Evan just called in, so we were by the game last night.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, so wait a second. Let me just reset this. So about an hour and a half ago, a gentleman called in and admitted that he left last night's Mets game early.
Right.
For no reason other than, I was ugly, right. I was frustrated. He wasn't even a Met fan. And you
He's a Met fan. He wakes up early in the morning. He works pretty hard. He wakes up early in the morning. He said to me, right. Charlie, I'm leaving. I said, Evan, don't leave. Please don't leave. Something's going to happen. First of all, by the way, any time at the end of the game, you have the karaoke at the eighth inning. Then you bring in Timmy Trumpet. There's a lot of energy in the stadium. Not a good time to leave. Yeah. Not a good time. There's a lot going on at the end of the game. Kids jumping all over. Look at the screens. Kids are really, really psyched up. It's a really, really good time of the game. I said, Evan, don't leave. I'm leaving. Anyways, he walked out of the exit. I walked back. I was just standing by behind home plate. You know, where you put your drink down over there. You stand by, like, you know, the I'm watching. I heard that crack of the bat. The second that ball cracked on that bat, cracked on the ball, it was over. The stadium, I don't know another game this season that the stadium went as crazy as last night.
Yeah, I would say to answer that, first of all, there's a couple of things. Number one, if you are investing time to go to a sporting event, and I get it. Like, I'm an abnormal human that I'm able to go to these many games, and it's all my wife's credit. I give her all the credit in the world.
Yeah.
But if you are going to a sporting event, and you're investing the time to drive there and park there, and whether it's free tickets or it's expensive tickets, whatever it is, don't you feel the need that you got to finish a story and finish the job and not leave?
Yeah, especially if it's a game like that.
Right. There was nothing about last night's Met game that screamed, I've got to leave. If they're losing 8-0, which they may be tonight, who the hell knows? I get it.
Yeah, the SNY game that we went to, where we were in the suite, and Sevy's getting just destroyed.
Right.
And Brooklyn had to leave because of cheer practice at CJA. It was kind of like, all right, I don't feel bad.
I understand it.
At all.
I think I even said to you, I get it. Now, I do want to answer his question. As someone who's been in many, many Met games this year, was last night the loudest? Mm. The answer is no. And I'm going to tell you specifically when I believe Citi Field was the loudest. And this game may haunt me if the Mets don't make the playoffs. This is the game that reminds me of the apex of the season.
Go ahead.
Friday night, Mets-Braves, Kodai Senga game. Okay? Kodai Senga comes back. Met fans are excited for it. And they exploded on Atlanta. I think it was the third or the fourth inning. Hit a bunch of home runs. Broke the game open. And that was the apex of the Mets season. They're blowing out the Braves. They're about to beat them a second straight game. Kodai Senga's dominating. And I've said this before. I thought while sitting at Citi Field with my entire family that night, it was firework night, I was like, holy crap, we may win the World Series. It was the only time this year that that thought went through my brain. Unfortunately, Senga gets hurt. Mets win.
Yep.
They lose Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
But I thought when they were exploding, JD hit a grand slam, that when that happened, packed house, the Braves, I thought that was the loudest Citi Field had been.
Yeah, I mean, it probably was, because it felt like the team was fully coming together.
Yes.
Finally.
after.
It felt like they were awesome.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, they were awesome. And if they don't make the playoffs and they never see a playoff spot again,
yeah,
that will be the game we think of as Met fans of, never got much better than that. And unfortunately,
they metted.
And
it's not even their fault. It's just the luck of the draw with Kodai Senga.
Well, Kodai gets hurt. They lose 2 to Atlanta. And really what's unfortunate, and I feel bad saying this because I do not blame him personally. I just want to make that clear. I don't feel this way. That night, the apex of the season, was also the night that our buddy Sal Licata tweeted wild card race is over.
That's right.
So
he just gets himself stuck in these moments. These specific moments.
I know.
We just let it breathe.
I know.
Let it breathe for a second.
He was just one more day.
The NL is over.
He was just playing her.
Just one more day. Let it breathe one more day.
And it's funny because the Mets got a little bit hot after that. They went 2-3 against Minnesota. And Sal said to me a few days later, do you think I'm, scot-free here? Do you think I'm past this? And I said, yeah. Like, if they don't make the playoffs, no one's going to think of that night. And the truth is, I do think of that night. No. Not him. I don't blame him in all seriousness. But I do think of that being like the apex of the season. Now, hopefully for the Mets, they have more apexes of the season.
Yeah, but it was hard to, knowing that Kodai was also down, it's hard to like buy into what he was saying. If Kodai was still strong, going strong, and then set for the rest of the season, you'd be like, all right, we're good.
In fairness, I think he tweeted it before Kodai got hurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't mean to make him feel bad, because I don't blame him. It's just, for Met fans who remember this, 2019 was a season where the Mets won 87 games. They blew a lot of games that year, and they had a moment in the middle of August. It was right around this time of year where they played the Nationals on a Friday night. This game actually made my book, My Mets Bible. It meant that much to me. It was a sold-out crowd. They were playing the Nationals. It was Marcus Stroman's Citi Field debut. And the Mets had this great comeback. Todd Frazier had a game-tying home run. Michael Conforto got a game-winning hit. And that season, that's the apex. That's the moment of the best feeling. Wow, this team could make the playoffs. Wow, this team could be special. And then they had a lot of brutal losses in September. They missed the playoffs. And when I think back to 2019, I think of that game and that feeling that we all had on that Friday night. Unfortunately, as of now, and things can change, 2024's defining apexian moment was that Friday night against Atlanta.
Yeah. It could be last night, too, though.
If they sweep the Orioles, it would be. I agree.
If they sweep the Orioles and just start climbing, and they zoom past Atlanta.
Yeah.
Who knows if they actually have a chance to catch San Diego and Arizona, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
I don't care.
If they zoom past Atlanta, solidify themselves as the wild card, the third wild card, that last night could be the apex.
I agree. So there's still a lot of potential. Eddie in Rockland. How you doing, Eddie?
What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Evan Teek, what's happening? First of all, Teek, you disappeared on Jersey's Housewives, man. You were in and you were out.
Yeah, I mean, do you watch the show? My wife.
Yeah, I like the guys. The guys make me laugh.
Right. Yeah, but for my wife, it was rough. My wife's too nice for that craziness.
What happened?
Nothing.
Now I need to rewatch this show.
Just watch. What do you mean?
I've never seen it. It's so not rewatch. I need to watch it.
Have you heard about it?
He was in one season and he was out the next.
That's right. I was there for the beverages.
Honestly, the only thing I know about the show is
they didn't serve Vespers.
My wife loved it. Said you came across likable. And the other thing I know is that there was a guy in the show named Joe Beningo, and that confused me.
Beningo.
Yeah. His name was Joe Beningo.
Yes.
that confused the crap out of me.
I think they're actually related.
Seriously?
I think so.
Bro, really?
Really?
Anyhow. Go ahead, Eddie. I apologize.
What's up, Eddie?
All right, on the Giants now. Couple things. First of all, would this team be a playoff team if they had a little bit better quarterback? Or are they still around the 7 wins and stuff like that?
Because Eddie, I don't think it's better, real quick. I'll let you finish, but I don't think it's better.
Right.
I think it's healthy. Because when Daniel Jones was healthy, they were a playoff team, and they won a playoff game on the road. So it's healthy quarterback and healthy everything else. Last year, they were decimated. So it's one thing to be a playoff team. It's another to be a championship viable. That's either AFC, NFC champion, or Super Bowl champion. I don't think they are in that viable championship realm yet, but they definitely are in the playoff realm.
Right. But here's another. Plus, this is what I'm looking at. I'm not looking at Daniel Jones. I'm not looking at the defense. I'm looking at the coach, and he better be able to play situational play calls that they average 20-plus points per game, per the season. I want to see 20 points. I don't care how they get it. That's what I want to see.
Well, it's all on him because he's calling the plays this year. This is the real Brian. It's always been the Brian Daboll offense.
Yeah.
But even more so, it's the Brian Daboll offense.
I feel like this preseason, like, we're not going to see anybody in the third preseason game against the Jets.
Scared of the Jets.
Okay. No, not that they're scared of the Jets. Nobody's playing in this in the third preseason game.
I know.
I mean, I got to go out and do the National Arizona Denver Broncos game, and I promise you I'm not seeing a soul that's going
to
play.
Who did you piss off to get that assignment?
it's actually good for our crew. You know, David Burson, who's newly in charge of CBS Sports, he and Ross Molloy and Harold, they put together, Brian, put together a new team for us. Right. So it's me and Jason McCourty. And it's
preseason.
It's helmed by Andrew Catalan. And so we haven't done a real game together. And so they put us on the one national CBS game this preseason. And it's, unfortunately, a game where nobody's going to play. But it's a good chance for us to do it, right, to practice it. So unlike the teams that we're going to watch, we're actually putting a full team together.
I think, to answer his question, and I kind of agree with what you said, it's about health with Daniel Jones. Yeah. I think Daniel Jones is an average, solid quarterback. That's why I always laugh when people have these crazy debates about him. He's elite, he sucks, he's this. He's in the middle. He's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. He's paid accordingly, by the way.
100%. He is literally 14th.
That's who he is. And in my opinion, with middle-of-the-pack quarterbacks, you're heavily, more so than the elite ones, heavily reliant on everything around you. Is the offensive line solid? Will the offensive line be as crappy as it was last year? Will it be similar to 2022 where it was better? Will they have a strong running game? Does he have a strong wide receiver room? If the answer to those questions is, hey, they're a lot better than last year, especially the receiver room. Hey, he's going to have some protection. Then, yeah, the Giants are good enough to win with Daniel Jones. They just showed it to you 2 years ago when they made the playoffs. But I think what has been lost in the Daniel Jones discourse is that, and we even run a promo. And I'm not criticizing you, Ryan, for the promo. I get it. The talking point is, it's a make or break year for Daniel Jones. I already know what Daniel Jones is. I think most of us do, yet we still fight about it.
Yeah.
He's average. He's average. When you're average, if you've got a good roster around you, you can win. If you're average and you got a crappy roster around you, you're going to suck. And that's what I think he is. And I think we all know that. So if this receiver room is considerably better, and on paper it looks that way, especially with Malik Nabers, if this offensive line can protect him, which means Andrew Thomas doesn't get hurt, you know, 1 week into the season, then, yeah, they can be fine. They can be good. They can be decent. So that's where I've always stood, at least over the last year and a half, on Daniel Jones and if they can win with him.
Yeah, they can definitely win with Daniel Jones. We've seen it before. And I know that we judge the Super Bowl winning teams by their quarterbacks, right? It's always that.
Sure.
And so, but can you win without one of those top three or four quarterbacks? It hasn't proven to be the case in the last couple of years.
You better be a really, really, really elite
right,
at one side of the football.
You better be sound and solid and elites elsewhere.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan, live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center here on the Fan and SNY throughout the day. Malik Nabers will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. So we'll talk to a man who is emerging as the most popular New York Giant amongst fans.
Is he?
I think he is. I get that sense. There's a lot of hype and a lot of excitement about Malik Nabers. I want to be rational here. And, you know, Sean Morash has been suspended. He is not here today at the Giant facility because he was suspended for a crime against sports manity that he committed a couple of months ago, in which he deleted Twitter after the Rangers got eliminated. So he's not here. But one thing Sean does bring with the Yankees is anger about the lineup. And we've heard that a lot if you listen to this show. The Yankee lineup will come out and he'll freak out about J.D. Davis can't exist. And, you know, he may have been right about that.
He can't be in the cleanup spot. He can exist.
Right.
He just can't clean up. You want to throw him in the 8 or 9 hole? Sure.
Yeah, and J.D. can't exist. He no longer exists with the Yankees.
True.
But he would get very upset about lineup decisions. And sometimes I get upset about lineup decisions. But I have to be honest with you. I try to be very, very calm. We're sitting here at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. A fun night of baseball tonight. It's WFAN night at Yankee Stadium. Going to be an awesome, awesome night. First 15,000 fans get the John and Susan t-shirt. John is going to be at the game. We'll be broadcasting a few innings. So very exciting night. Plus, it could be a preview of the ALCS, the New York Yankees and the Cleveland Guardians.
Good point.
Mets are taking on the Orioles. Big night there. And so I'm excited. Excited for a fun baseball night. And I very casually go to my phone and I check the Yankee lineup. And I am actually angry about something.
Why?
I am pissed off about something.
I'm actually looking at it right now and it looks quite all right.
Well, you got a problem then.
Why?
You need to put some reading glasses on.
Because, Glaber, I do need my reading glasses because I actually can't see this.
No issue. And, by the way, the Yankee lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sip sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. I want to make things very clear.
Tell me where it's wrong. Glaber Torres leading off at second base. Juan Soto, hey, he's always there at second hold in right field. Aaron Judge playing center. Yep. Then Carlos Stanton DHing. Verdugo in the five hole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trevino at catching. Okay. Volpe at seven. Okay. DJ LeMahieu playing first base in the eight hole. And Oswaldo Peraza, third base.
All right, so here's the issue. Oswald Peraza. It can get confusing with Oswaldo. Yeah. When the New York Yankees started turning their season around, kind of fixing their season after all of those struggles,
yes.
One of the things Aaron Boone did that at the time was like, oh, that's peculiar, but it's completely worked out, is he took a very nice young player who's emerging as, dare I say, a candidate for Rookie of the Year, named Austin Wells, and he said, I'm going to hit you cleanup. And it worked. And Austin Wells has emerging as a really valuable young piece on the New York Yankees. A couple of days ago, the Yankees activated Jose Trevino. I like Jose Trevino. No one dislikes Jose Trevino. But I said to Sean, and I apologize. I'm going to apologize to Sean. I'm going to apologize to the audience. Sean raised the alarm flag of, you know, you better not play Trevino over Austin Wells. And I said, why would Boone do that? Like, he knows that Austin Wells has been a big part of this turnaround. Trevino will play your customary amount of times a catcher plays, the way, you know, occasionally Luis Torrens plays for the Mets, or Carlos Narvaez, who's playing for the Yankees. He's a backup catcher. And I calmed him down. I gave him a back massage. I said, you have nothing to worry about. Well, now I'm worried. Because for the third time in 5 days, I think it's 3 out of 5 days, we are witnessing Jose Trevino over Austin Wells. And you can save the time by saying, but Chigali, Evan Matthew Boyd's a lefty. How could you have Austin Wells face a lefty? Austin Wells can face lefties.
Yes.
And let's not act like Jose Trevino is a lefty masher. He's not. It's not true. It's not like Trevino's hitting 450 against left-handed pitching. Aaron Boone is making a grave mistake.
Grave?
Austin Wells needs to play just about every day. This is a Tuesday after an off day. You're not playing Trevino to keep your catcher fresh. You're literally playing Trevino because you need a righty in the lineup.
Yeah, and it's not
stupid. It's hogwash. And this is the first time in a while where I will raise the alarm bells as an IBO and say, Aaron Boone done screwed up.
And it's not like there's a quick turnaround tomorrow. The game tomorrow is the same time. The game Thursday is a day game. So it would make sense if Trevino was catching tomorrow and not today. But, maybe this is just him giving Austin Wells a little bit of a rest.
Why does he need a rest?
Because he had so much of a burden when Jose Trevino was... I mean, he did.
Stop it. Was it hurting him?
Of course it wasn't hurting him.
So then what the hell's the problem?
He did just maintenance. He is still a rookie. He's still a young player. No. So it's probably... Chill out for a little bit. We'll cover you, but just be ready when we need you type of thing.
I just don't think that
makes sense. You think he's being usurped as the more important catcher?
Yeah.
You think that's happening?
And by the way,
if that's the case, then I would have a problem with that as well.
Well, I'm going to walk
you. It's also the challenge of Giancarlo Stanton. With Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup, you want to take Wells off, take him from behind the plate. Where are you playing him?
He can't DH. No, he's catching.
Because Stanton's got to be in.
No, I didn't say DH. He's catching. He's the catcher. He's a catcher. He's the catcher. He's a catcher.
Of course he's the catcher.
I'll never forget. The great Ian Eagle was working at WFN as a talk show host. I remember different moments in FAN history, and it's not always just Mike and the Mad Dog. And Ian Eagle was talking about Todd Hundley being moved to left field. And Ian Eagle went on this rant of, he's a catcher. Todd Hundley can't play left field because he's a catcher. Austin Wells is a catcher. And I'm about to make Yankee fans even more upset because I got bad news. The Yankees play a day game on Thursday. So what's going to happen is Austin Wells will play tomorrow.
Right.
And everyone will be happy. And then guess what happens on Thursday?
Trevino's going to play.
He's going to sit for Trevino.
Or he could DH.
He's not.
Maybe, but
what?
It could. That could happen.
By the way, that could happen.
It probably will happen.
But that shouldn't happen because Austin Wells, repeat after me, is the catcher.
True, but he played in three. He played in all three of the Detroit games, did he not?
No! Trevino started two of them. That's the problem.
Right. That's right. He started the first one.
The problem is, I'll admit when I'm wrong, and sometimes I don't want to be wrong. Sometimes I do want to be wrong. Like, I want to be wrong about negative predictions about my own team. I wasn't giving, like, a positive or negative prediction. I was just being honest that, hey, there's no way Aaron Boone would be foolish enough to usurp Austin Wells. He's usurping him.
Right. They actually kind of split Detroit because he pitched in for him.
Do you think he should split? Do you think he should split?
No, of course he should.
So then
he's a young player.
Oh, stop.
That's the only thing I can chalk it up
to. I disagree.
To me, this sounds like an analytical decision. This is a computer or an algorithm making determinations for Aaron Boone. And it's mostly because when Trevino was hurt, Austin Wells took a lion's share of the catching duties.
Right.
And it just, I don't want to say it put wear on him because, look, young men, go squat behind the plate for 8 days in a row. You'll be all right.
Young man, go squat.
Right. You got young knees. You're good. Don't worry about it. And if you need a break, we'll put you at DH. But he did a lot of that when Trevino was out. So now he's remanaging it.
Yeah, he's wrong.
That's what I think is happening. He's just remanaging.
Well, he's remanaging
it. It will be interesting to see what happens in this series because he's not playing today. He will probably play tomorrow, and it'll be interesting to see in the rubber match, which is a day game and short turnaround for Wells, if he actually does anything. Is he DHing?
Right.
Or is he – he's probably not catching, but is he DHing?
I hate this, Yankee fans. Let's hear from you. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jeff calling from Manhattan. How are you, Jeff?
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, what's up? How are you guys doing?
Excellent, man. What's on your mind?
Listen, this lineup is atrocious. I mean, listen, why is LeMahieu playing first base? Where's Ben Rice? Listen, guys, if you're in the major leagues and you're left-handed and you can't hit left-handed pitching, you shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I think the problem is the Yankees have been so bad against lefties this season, and I don't even have as big of an issue with the DJ LeMahieu thing, even though DJ's cooled off after getting hot, but these are the areas where he's going to insert him against the lefty. I don't have as big of an issue with that as I do with Austin Wells, who's been such a spark plug for this team, but Boone is trying to find a way to spark this team against left-handed pitching.
Well, I understand that, but guess what? We suck against left-handed pitching, and LeMahieu has always been there. It's not going to make a difference, bro.
No, listen, DJ LeMahieu has not exactly hit left-handed pitching.
Yeah, but Ben Rice hasn't been the answer either.
No, and that's why I don't have as big of an issue with that. Like, I'm not screaming about that. My issue is that Austin Wells is a part of the story on how the Yankees – I said turn around their season. That's not fair because as much as they were struggling, they were always right there.
Yeah.
I would say almost recalibrated their season.
Yeah, of course.
Because he was a big part of it. So why would you bench him?
It gave them, I mean, it's hard to give him all the credit because you can't, because it also coincided with Jazz Chisholm's trade and coming here as well. But you just felt like you had someone viable behind Soto and Judge all of a sudden when he was now in the cleanup spot and Jazz was hitting fifth or sixth or wherever he was and was raking like he was. But he felt like there was somebody who was not a guaranteed out behind your two best players.
Yeah. It lengthened the lineup when he did this.
100%.
It's actually as much as we're going to crush Aaron Boone today or in this moment, it was actually one of his best decisions. And I want to read you something. Just to back up what I'm saying and give credit to Boone. As a cleanup hitter, Austin Wells this season, 352, three home runs, and a 964 OPS. It's worked!
Yeah.
It's absolutely worked, so why...
In the cleanup spot.
Would you shortchange it now just because Matthew Boyd throws with his left hand? You weren't doing this nearly as much when Trevino wasn't here and it was Carlos Narvaez. I think that Boone is overthinking this, or he's being too loyal to Trevino. Like, oh, I got to make sure I play Trevino four times a week.
I think it's less than that. Honestly, it defies explanation, right? And when it defies rational explanation, it's probably some analytical conversation that they've had. And it's a wear and tear thing. He's done XYZ. He's a rookie. We usually don't put this much pressure or this much work onto a rookie's knees in this case because he's a catcher. Let's try to balance this out.
Now, that doesn't really make sense, because if you feel all right and you tell them you can handle it, as I'm sure Austin Wells is telling them, you should just let them go.
Hey, you know why it has nothing to do with that? Because it didn't start until Trevino came back.
Yeah, but I'm, what I'm saying is that when Trevino was out, he took an inordinate amount of the reps.
I don't think he did. I think he played like a starting catcher. That's how many, that's what starting catchers do.
True, but
they play most of the time. It's what Francisco Alvarez does.
Sure, I know, but he's still a rookie.
Well, what does that mean? Is he like a he can't play baseball?
I'm just trying to be the explainer from the Yankee standpoint, from the Aaron Boone standpoint. Because I agree with you. It also does not make sense to me. I want Austin Wells in the lineup as often as possible.
Yeah, I think that's what he's earned. He's earned that, and he's not getting it again tonight. Eric's in Massapequa. How you doing, Eric?
I'm doing okay until I saw the lineup. And a lot of things you just said, Evan, are spot on. This guy was their third best hitter for 6 weeks. Trevino comes back, and it's like they just forgot about him. It doesn't make sense. This continues to be Boone making terrible decisions, or it might be coming from Cashman, which would make sense because he always makes terrible decisions. It doesn't make sense. He's proving. If you look at his WAR, which all of a sudden these guys want to be analytical and they want to look at things, look at his WAR. It's almost the same as Adley Rutschman's. This kid should be playing 5 out of 7 games. It makes no sense.
Yeah. I think
Alex Verdugo
also
leading off makes no sense. He hasn't hit a home run since July 6th.
Well, the good news is Alex Verdugo is not leading off in today's lineup. Gleyber Torres is against the left-hander Matthew Boyd. I think what they need to do right now, and I get the Yankees have been bad against lefties. It's been one of the more frustrating things this year. In fact, their record when they face a left-handed starter is 13-19. Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the Yankees have one of the best records in baseball. When they face left-handed starters, they are not just under 500. They are 6 games under 500. But I think what you need to do, especially when something is working as well as it's been working with Austin Wells, is let him play against lefties, take a deep breath, don't make that change. Like, I'll be the first to defend Boone that Austin Wells will need off days on day games after night games. Like, I get it. That's how the catching position works. Very few guys play every single day, no matter how good of a catcher they are. So I accept that. You know, there are 6 games in a week, 5 out of 6 games. It's not going to be all 6. Maybe you can make a DH day, Tiki, like you talked about. And I think what they need to do, and we always throw around the word analytics, I don't think it's anything that complicated. They believe that Jose Trevino gives them a better opportunity against left-handed pitching.
Oh, I mean,
and Trevino is not exactly killing left-handed pitching.
Well, Wells' OPS is lefties is under 600. So
I get it.
Technically, you're kind of right.
And what's Trevino's numbers? Because they aren't that good against lefties either.
It's not much better.
That's the problem. It's
that,
not like you've got a better alternative. More of your calls on this. Plus, Aaron Boone got into it with John Boy about Anthony Volpe. We'll take a quick listen and offer our thoughts, and we'll talk to you at 888-808-1019. Plus, Malik Nabers of the New York Football Giants will join us coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We are live from the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.